Greetings, brethren. This is Jackson Soufrant from Congregation of Elohim in New York City. Today I will be doing Unity Part 2, which is about to show that Elohim's organization has one name and to cover what and why. The purpose of this teaching is to show that Elohim has consistently addressed his organization as his congregation, more precisely the Congregation of Elohim, and by so doing established this name in statute. Before reviewing Elohim's organization from the scriptures, let's quickly consider fundamental elements such as, fundamental elements successful organizations use to represent themselves for success and growth. For one, they establish a mission statement, specific objective, target customers, specific strategy, and a unique name, brand, and budget, cost, and so on. Organizations, businesses in particular, regard these as vital elements of marketing or presentation, which must be fully and properly performed to achieve objectives. When properly executed, a business will have one goal: well-branded products and or services, specific established strategy, a particular meaningful name, employees, faculty to achieve success and growth. As an organization grows and spreads to other locations, it ensures the success of each new business location by employing the same strategic elements and the same name. We can see this where we go to bank, eat, shop, work, even in government agencies. They all have specific names by which they are identified, so everyone needing their products or services can easily recognize and find them. They know a significant name is a key to maintaining their organization's growth and success. Thus, an organization's name is important. How much more so the Organization of Elohim, which is by far the most important organization on earth? Of course, Elohim in statute, as expressed throughout the Old and New Testament scriptures, reveal the name he judged suitable for his own organization on earth. Regrettably, while secular business owners are smart enough to know it is best to assign one name to their organizations, many people who claim to be ministers of Elohim have chosen to give numerous and various names to their organization. The Son of Elohim, who is building and leading Elohim's organization, said, quote, "The children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light," as found in Luke chapter 16, verse 8. For this regard, for the name by which Elohim chose to address his own organization is one of many causes for the shameful conditions of organizations claiming to be of Elohim. Sadly, the organization, once regarded all over the world as divinely guided, beneficent, effectual representatives of the kingdom of Elohim, are now regarded as mere businesses led by greedy and self-serving charlatan ministers. The once healthy functioning body of believers has been disrupted and scattered all over with the lure of false shepherds. Contrary to the scriptures, they form numerous denominations under various names by which they confuse, divide, and detain the servants of Elohim. These groups claim to be all one body, yet none are willing to unite. Rather, while one denomination is promoting a matter, another is working to tear it down. Many sincere believers have spent a great deal of effort, money, and time trying to serve in these denominations only to discover that they were supporting unbiblical organizations. I think many of us can identify with that unpleasant experience. The effort and years we may have invested in unbiblical denominations that refuse to repent from falsehood. Thanks to Elohim, we have abandoned these divisive associations. Yet, there are many other sincere believers that either do not realize they are in unscriptural groups or do not know, or do know, but do not know where else to go. We know that the Son of Elohim will one day forever remove this falsehood of denominations and names and all evil. While we wait on him, we must make sure we are doing everything fully in his way. This includes making sure that we are not divided into denominations or in different names. Although the servants of Elohim's organization may have different roles, they all serve consciously and concertedly as one organization, as one body indeed. For the scriptures tell us Elohim has indeed one true organization. Therein we find Romans 12 verse 4 tells us, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." In other place we see, "So we being many are one body in Messiah, and every one members of another." 1 Corinthians 10:17 says, "For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread." Also in 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Messiah." 1 Corinthians 12:13 tells us, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." 1 Corinthians 12:20 says, "But now are they many members, yet but one body." Ephesians 2:16 says, "And that he might reconcile both unto Theos in one body by the cross, having been slain thereby," the enmity thereby. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, according to Ephesians 4:4, and one more, "And let the peace of Theos rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." That's in Colossians 3:15. Okay? So, given all the above proofs of the unity Elohim expects of his organization, the body of Messiah, there is no room for anything superfluous and divisive, including something as simple but powerful as the name of his organization. As touched on earlier, an element of an organization's growth and success is having a meaningful representative name. The following will focus on recognizing the name of Elohim and his Son, and the elect one deemed fit to call his organization, which all his servants maintain. The following are common Hebrew and Greek words found in the Old and New Testaments, often translated as congregation. So let's look at the Old Testament. In the Old Testament of our common Bibles, there are several different Hebrew words translated as congregation, four of which are Kahal, Kehila, and Moed. Below is a summary of the meaning and usage of these Hebrew words, sometimes translated as congregation. So, Edah, which is Strong's Hebrew word H5712, is translated as congregation 124 times. And as assembly 13 times, as a multitude 9 times, as people 1 time, as even a swarm 1 time, a total of 149 times according to our common Old Testament Bibles. So we see some references of this, for instance, in Numbers chapter 27 verse 17. That verse says, "Who may go out before them, and who may go in before them, and who may lead them out, and who may bring them in, that the congregation of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh be not as sheep which have no shepherd." So that's in Numbers 27. And we have other references in Numbers 31:16. It says, "Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Eternal in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Eternal." And so there are lots of other usage of this throughout the scriptures. And Edah is used, again, 149 times. So in the next word is Kahal, from Strong's H6950. Again, that's a Hebrew word, often used to denote assemblage, assembly, company, congregation, or multitude. And this word is used 123 times. And you have references of it in Deuteronomy 23, verse 2 and 3, which says, "A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Eternal, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Eternal. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Eternal, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Eternal forever." So, in Deuteronomy 23, verse 8, the children that are begotten of by them shall enter in the congregation of the Eternal in their third generation, and so on. Similar usage, and all of these, most of these, is congregation of the Eternal, or the congregation of the Eternal, and that's using the word kahal. And the first occurrence of that word with Elohim is found in Nehemiah 13, verse 1. It says, "On that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of Elohim forever." And it's interesting that Nehemiah quotes the same verse, quotes from the law, which is what we read before, Deuteronomy verse 3. And in there, it actually says Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, but he paraphrases it as the congregation of Elohim forever. And also in Micah 2, verse 5, it says, Therefore thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Eternal. All of these I'm pointing out show that the organization is addressed as the congregation of Elohim or Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And then we have a word that's also translated as congregation is Kehillah. And Kehillah is Strong's, is actually from Strong 6950. And these two references are Deuteronomy 30, verse 4. It says, "Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob, the Kehillah of Jacob." Then Nehemiah 5:7 said that, "I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brother, and I set a great Kehillah assembly against them." Okay, so, and one that I was a little surprised myself to see translated as congregation is the word Moed. We're very familiar with the word Moed, which normally means appointed time, but it is also used sometimes translated as, by implication, congregation or assembly. And it's usually tied to the tent of meeting, and the tent of meeting or tabernacle of meeting is translated as the tabernacle, the Oel Moed is translated, in at least in our King James Version, in some versions, as the tabernacle of the congregation. And we see examples of this in Exodus 27:21, Exodus 40:35, Leviticus 1, verse 1, and Leviticus 24, verse 3. In all these situations, Moed is tied with the Mishkan, with the tabernacle, and it's properly understood to mean the tabernacle of meeting. Okay, so again, all of these show how Elohim addresses his people, not really counting the word Moed, but when he addresses his people, he addresses them as Eda, mostly, or Kahal. Okay, so the above Old Testament references clearly show that Elohim incorporates his name with the name by which he addresses his collective people, comprising of Israelites and Gentiles. All the words used to address the people are tied to the word Elohim. Why? For one reason, the congregation is his peculiar treasure, as stated in Exodus 19, verse 5. Moreover, as seen throughout the scriptures, Elohim assigns significant words that easily convey his purpose or thought. The organization is his, and therefore he addresses it by the above terms, which all convey congregation of Elohim, something the organization or congregation that he owns, that's exclusively his. So, in the Old Testament, what we see is that when he addresses the congregation, when he addresses his organized, his united people, he calls them by statute, and assigns that by statute to them, addressing them as congregation of Elohim, either again by Eda Elohim or Eda Yudhevave, or Kahal Elohim or Kahal Yudhevave. Let's look at some New Testament proofs for this. And it's in the New Testament, we find one Greek word. The Greek word ekklesia, which is Strong's G1577, is used to represent Elohim's organization. Okay, and it means called, a called out, congregation, assembly. This word occurs 118 times in the New Testament. It is first found in the Gospel of Matthew, where the sovereign told Peter, quote, "And I say unto you, Peter, that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my ecclesia," sometimes translated church, but it really should be congregation, "and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's in Matthew 16, verses 18. The second time this is found in the New Testament is in Matthew 18, where again the absolute ruler instructed his disciples on how to manage or deal with congregants refusing to repent of sin. He said, quote, "And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the ecclesia," tell it to the congregation. "But if he refuses even to hear the ecclesia, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector." That's in Matthew 18:17. So there are four, here are four of 10 passages where ecclesia is specifically combined with the word theos, just as we saw similarly in the Hebrew where whether Eda, Kahal, or Kahal were connected with Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh or the word Elohim. So in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, we read, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseas, to feed the ecclesia of Theos, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Again, in 1 Corinthians verses 1 2 says, "Unto the ecclesia of Theos, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Messiah Yeshua, called to be saints, and all that in every place call upon the name of Yeshua Messiah, our absolute ruler, both theirs and ours." Also in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the ecclesia of Theos." And once more, is 1 Corinthians 11, verse 22. "What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the ecclesia of Theros, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." Again, all these four references show that the word ecclesia, which is used for congregation, is tied with the word theos, to show that it is an organization that is owned by Elohim, belongs to him. It's the congregation of Theos. And it's a meaningful name, as we see, because it tells you what it is, and it clearly tells you who the owner is. There is no better simple construct here that we can use to convey this organization. So we said 10. So the six other references use are 1 Corinthians 14, 28. We won't turn to them, but I'll just name them. And 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 1, Galatians 1, verse 13, Ephesians 3, verse 10, and 1 Timothy 3, chapter 3, verses 5. All these passages combine the Greek word ekklesia with theos to convey ekklesia theos, to show that the congregation belongs to Elohim. Okay, let's move along. So, again, what we're trying to show is that Elohim's organization throughout the Old Testament and New Testament has one name. Whether we say in the Hebrew congregation, Eda Elohim, or we say in the Greek, Ecclesia Theos, they're all saying one thing, the congregation of Elohim, and that's the name that Elohim chose to give his organization. So the important relevance of the word Ecclesia found in the New Testament is that the same word found in the ancient Septuagint, the Greek Old Testament, also used by ancient Jews from about the 3rd century BC. It is believed to have been translated from Hebrew and Aramaic into Greek around the 3rd century BC in Alexandria. Thus, the word ecclesia, commonly translated as church in English versions of the New Testament, is the same Greek word used in the Septuagint to represent the congregation some 300 years before the elect one or the Messiah came to earth in flesh. This word ecclesia continued to be used throughout the New Testament to denote the congregation of Elohim, the united body of Messiah. Elohim wants his people to be together, as expressly prophesied in Micah chapter 2, verses 12-13. Quote, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together, Yahad, as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. In verse 13, the breakers come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh on the head of them. The Old and New Testament facts show that Elohim, his servants, Elohim, his son, and servants use one name for his organized and united people on earth. Old and New Testament show the congregation of Elohim is always comprised of Shemites and a mixed group of other people. Briefly, for example, the Exodus 12 account of Israelites and a mixed multitude leaving Egypt. Exodus 19 verses 20 about the Sinai covenant with all the people. Isaiah 56, welcoming strangers and eunuchs as fellow workers and with a name greater than that of sons. The temporary separation of Israel from the mixed multitudes of Nehemiah 13, shown reunited in the book of Acts, account of Pentecost with a variety of people and throughout the New Testament. So, in retrospect, at least the name Elohim assigned by act or statute and which all his servants applied is the divinely assigned corporate name of his one organization on earth. The adversary and his minions have blinded, deceived, divided many believers and made them apathetic to the organization's name, while keeping us divided by different denominations and group names. We have been divided by error and falsehood of others as well as our own. Let us stop being unwise and recognize and observe Elohim's statute regarding the name by which he saw fit to address his one organization on earth. For because the foolishness of Elohim is wiser than men, and the weakness of Elohim is stronger than men, as found in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 25. The consensus of the scriptures show that he associates his ineffable name and title to his organization. The organization or body of Messiah is his, and therefore he addresses it by terms which all convey an organization or congregation that is exclusively his own. Although there may not be a direct command to call his organization by that name, the fact that he and his son addressed it by that name repeatedly throughout the scriptures, he has shown it to us as a statute or act on his part. We should be humble and wise to do the same, to choose the same name. If we want to express the congregation in Hebrew, Eda would be the better choice, as it seems to be the one most used of the four Hebrew words of four reviewed in the Old Testament. In view of these factors, it is sound to recommend that the organization of Elohim should be called Eda Elohim or Eda Elohim Yahad. For those in Greek-speaking locations, we could use Ecclesia Theos Sekalio or synago is fine, or at least reasonable. The Greek words sigkalio and synago, as found in Luke chapter 9 verse 1 and Acts 15 verse 6, mean together, respectively. Since we are English speakers, it would be wise to include the translation as congregation of Elohim. In conclusion, thus it behooves his servants to recognize, acknowledge, and reclaim the name Elohim uses to represent his organization, the body of Messiah. We know that Elohim wants his people to be united as declared throughout the scriptures. We saw that words Elohim and his servants used to address his organization through the Old and New Testaments. We saw that the success and growth of an organization requires the element of a meaningful name among other parts. This is one of the specific steps we can implement to break down the enemy's barriers and stronghold of division. As we know, Elohim does not expect the divisive denominations to welcome or cooperate with this. Neither should we have that expectation. What Elohim foreknew and reveals is that those who are lost while seeking the way and those thirsty for it will find it. That is why he and all who are his greatly desire and rejoice over. So should we. For too long we have been divided by the enemy's confusing and divisive lies. Let us then act accordingly in the right faith of his knowledge to take the simple yet important step of reclaiming the name by which the eternal Elohim, the power of all, addresses one organization on earth and which all his servants observe, the congregation of Elohim. Thank you for listening.